So good morning, everyone. My name is Drew Penix, and I'm a research technician and graduate student in the Crop and Soil Sciences Department at NC State. And this morning, what I would like to talk to you all about are some of the evaluations that we have been doing with a number of turf colorants over the last few years. So before we get started, I would like to clarify which products we are actually testing here. Whenever we think about turf colorants, we can kind of separate that out into two separate kinds of products. So the first one being a dye or a dye product, or we also refer to them as pigments sometimes, or a paint product. So with our dye products, typically we apply these to actively growing turf. Most of the time, this is to enhance the existing color there. And since we're applying to actively growing turf, the life is much shorter. With our paint products, we apply to a dormant turf grass, and we expect these to last a lot longer throughout the winter. Now, why do the paint products last longer? If you look down at the figure in the bottom of the slide, it's probably tough to see back there in the back. But that yellow portion is the binder of mount and paint, in which the binder is what adheres this product to the actual turf grass surface. So just keep that in mind. The products that we are evaluating are our paint-like products. So why turf colorants? Our main reason for using turf colorants is to provide us with an alternative to winter overseeding. Now, overseeding, of course, this turf grass surface here looks very nice, striped up, dark green color. But with this comes added cost. With seed, we have to prep the area, which costs time and labor, additional water, and also fertilizer. We have to change our herbicide programs. And a big issue is when we transition from our cool season grasses back to our warm season grass in the following spring. So our primary research objective here was to evaluate the visual color, intensity, and hue angle of 27 turf grass colorants. And a secondary research objective was to identify which of these colorants have the greatest propensity to transfer colorant onto a white cloth after application. So this study was conducted at our research facility in Raleigh, North Carolina, on two heights of cut, one being a putting green height and the other being an athletic field height of cut. And we mixed these products at the lowest dilution rate. Now what I mean by that, we looked at each label of each product and we picked the most colorant to water ratio. We applied each product at two spray volumes, being 80 gallons per acre and 120 gallons per acre. Our design was a randomized complete block design. And we looked at colorant color, where we evaluated on a 1-9 scale the quality of color. Colorant intensity, which was basically how well this product or each product will cover our turf plot. So it was the coverage rating, but it also involved how intense that color was, how deep and rich that color was, and also hue angle through image analysis. And as you can see, here are the products that we tested. And one thing I would like to point out, which again is probably tough to see in the back of the room, are the mixing rates on the far side and how much they vary between products. Our lowest mixing rate being a 1-4 rate with EnviroSeal, and as high as 1-16 mixing rate with a couple different products. And I will also note that a couple of these manufacturers have changed since we started this project, so just keep that in mind. So this is what we were looking at. As you can see here, we've got a pretty diverse checkerboard of colors. And notice up in the top left corner, this is our untreated control. But we can see we have dark green products, we have very bright green products. Down towards the bottom right, we can see we have a bluish colored product. And also we have some products here that haven't provided much color at all. So this is at 5 days after application. We move out to 81 days, and we see how this color has shifted quite a bit with some products. Some products, you know, have just faded in color. And also, I would like for you to notice, let's look at Lyman specifically here. Products can shift to a grayish or bluish color that we actually noticed throughout this. So we're dealing with a lot of different colors over the entire time period that we are evaluating these products. So just to give a little better depiction of what we were seeing, we applied these products to a paper cardstock so we can really see that true color. And, you know, this is what we saw. You know, is this typically the type of colors that we see whenever we're looking at actively growing turf grass? We see with Chameleon Blue here, it's a very blue product. World Class is a very bright green. You know, we may see this with an annual ryegrass at certain times, but that's a really bright green color. And here we have Millikan, which is an example of some of the darker green products that we saw. So when evaluating these, we started to see these different colors and how they were kind of grouping out. So what we did was we exposed this data to MDS analysis, which allowed us to verify these different groups. So here with the group one products, these are our very bright blue and bright green products. And here in the middle, group two, those are our dark green products. And lastly, with group three, these are the products that provide a very little color after application. So like I said, this allowed us to evaluate these products group by group. So with our group one colorants, we see that blue here maintain colorant intensity, color, and hue, the highest of all of the products included in this group over both years of the study. Group 2 colorants, a little bit more variable, but in year 1, green longer was able to provide us the best color and intensity. Graphics had the highest hue. In year 2, intensity was highest with evergreen. Green longer again had the best natural green color. And in an original had the highest hue value in year 2. And here are group 3 colorants. As you can notice, these values are a lot lower than the group 1 and group 2 colorants because they were unable to provide much color at all. But in year 1, we've got Bermuda grass. That was our clear-cut winner here in group 3. And then in year 2, Ultradorf Plus and MTP Turf Green were the highest values in terms of color and intensity, color, and hue. So there's a lot of products that we looked at, and let's kind of summarize what we would see. So, like I said, with group one, they were able to maintain colorant color and intensity the longest throughout the winter compared to all of the other products that we evaluated. But as you can see here, the blue and bright green color, it questions their value in a high-value turf area, such as a golf course or an athletic field. Group two, these were our best natural green color products. As you can see there on the right, these are dark green. This is what we expect to see with a turf grass. They did have reduced life, but when rating these, obviously that natural green color was ideal for the group 2 colorants. Within those, Green Longer, Let's Go Green, Ultradorf Super, Southwest Green, and an experimental product were rated the best. And here with our group three, we have turf coat, which you can see that was did not provide much color at all either year after application. And this suggests with these products that we should maybe look at different mixing rates or also spray volumes to try to achieve a better color. So real quick, when looking at our secondary objective, we wanted to look at how bad or which colorants we actually transfer onto a white cloth after application. And as you can see here, as we would drag a white paper towel across the length of our colorant treated plot, and we would get our resulting cloth there on the right to where we can take a reflectance measurement with an NDVI meter to quantify how much colorant has come off the plot. So here listed on the left are the products that tended to come off onto the cloth the most or rub off, with ranking from the most colorant rubbed off to the lowest. Blue, Regreen, Endurance, Spray Max, Solarigen, World Class, and Titan Green Turf all rubbed off the highest amount compared to all 27 products. And one thing to note over here on the right, or one thing to note is that in year one, we saw a lot higher level of colorant rub off. So we looked at the temperature at application, and you can see that on the right. In year one, the temperature was a lot lower. Specifically, it was right around freezing. So to verify this claim, we applied a product that was prone to rub off in Spray Max and a product that was the best in terms of it did not rub off at all in Ultradorf Super in both a cool and warm environment. So we applied at the cool temperature, again, right around freezing, and then our warm temperature was at 65 degrees. And as we can see with both products, when applied at that cooler temperature, there was a significant amount more colorant that rubbed off onto the white cloth. So in summary, again, here's the list of products that rubbed off the most out of all 27. In both years, they were above the acceptable amount of colorant transfer. And also, we saw where colorant transfer is dependent on the temperature in which you apply these products. So it's very important to apply during a warmer temperature. And this has great effects whenever you're dealing with an athletic field. You have this rub off on to uniforms, which can be an added expense that a number of parents probably don't want to pay for more uniforms. So with that, I would like to thank the USGA for funding this research, as well as the Turfgrass Center of North Carolina and help with funding this. And any questions? So the question is, whenever the warm season grass greened up in the spring, did we see any difference in turf grass quality? No, we actually did not. Obviously, when we evaluated these from November, we only made a single application of all these products. So we did that in November, and we would monitor all the way until March. So at that point, there was not a lot of colorant left. So there wasn't any variation in turf grass quality in terms of green up. Yep.
Did you investigate measuring saturation and intensity like you did with Q angle to see if there's any differences in product in terms of saturation and intensity?
We did. So what we found there, and we can talk more after this because we have looked into this extensively as far as our images with both saturation and brightness. But whenever you look at a colorant-treated leaf, I'm not sure if you have or not, but instead, like here visually, it looks like the entire leaf blade is covered. when actually you only see dots of pigments across the leaf blade. So whenever you have a digital image, you have a lot of variation in your background, meaning you've got a lot of dormant turf shadowing within the turf grass canopy. So it's very variable as far as saturation went with our images. Yes? So obviously going out at the higher spray volume increased the color for, among all products. So, you know, those are kind of low rates anyway compared to what a lot of golf courses go out at. So whenever we looked at the different rates, the higher rate definitely increased the quality of color with the product. Yeah, so the problem with that, with these products, as we saw, well, I'm not, in that first slide, whenever we were looking at the difference between paints and pigments, so the constituent of a paint, you have binder, you have pigment, which provides the color, you have additives such as surfactants, you know, that should help spread, and also water as your carrier, but with colorants, they don't go into a solution, you know, it's more of a suspension. So you keep those pigments, like I said, they stay intact and you just get that resulting kind of dotting on the leaf blade. So as far as that goes, that's kind of the engineers, how they are better, you know, to maybe get this into more of a solution rather than a suspension. Subpixel.
Yeah, around those where you have a dot, a pigment on that leaf, and you'd be able to look at the color space there on a subpixel basis, blow it up.
Yeah, so with this study, we did not. As you can imagine, with this many products over four replications, over two mowing heights, and taking photos every 2 weeks for months on end, we had a high number of photos, so for this particular study, we did not look at the subpixel value.
Thank you, Speaker.